Blog Talk Radio.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקך. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Daniel looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Good evening and welcome to the Wise Shall Understand radio broadcast. We are broadcasting live on the beach in beautiful Jacksonville, Florida. My name is Jeff Greider, and I will be your host and Bible teacher for these next 2 hours. And if you're just tuning in for the first time tonight, we're very glad that you are with us. We live in a day and age where people are confused about what they believe, where people are afraid to take a stand on the old rugged cross, on the old King James Bible. People are afraid to take a stand on doctrine. And much of what passes for Bible teaching these days is really nothing more than a superficial skimming of the scriptures combined with opinion and, well, I think it says this, or it looks like it says that. But there is very little emphasis these days on doctrinal Bible truths. Now, that word scares a lot of people, the word doctrine. But what is doctrine? Doctrine is what a particular passage in the Bible teaches to be true, not the spiritual application of it, but the doctrinal application of what the particular passage means. And when we go through God's preserved word and we look at Bible doctrine, you know what begins to happen very quickly is we start to separate from others when we do that, not because we want to intentionally separate from other people, but Bible doctrine will separate other people, because a lot of people cannot take the truth of God's word, where it stands, where it says what it says, and how it applies. And that is something that is sorely, sorely, sorely missing in our day and age. We hear sermons on how to improve your health and your finances, sermons on social justice, which is not in the Bible at all. You know, it's funny, talking about social justice, Jesus said to Judas, when he was complaining that Mary had broken the alabaster box on Jesus and, in his view, wasted all that expensive ointment that could have been sold to feed the poor. Now, that's, you know, if there is a social gospel in the Bible, it's Judas was the one who was pretending to have a social gospel. But what did Jesus say to Judas when he said, you know, that that ointment could have been used to raise money for the poor, Jesus says, the poor you have with you always, but me you don't have always. And Bible doctrine will separate people. Bible doctrine will split churches. Bible doctrine will split things right down the middle, because when you take things from a doctrinal perspective, it's a great divider. So tonight, I said all that to say this. Tonight, the topic of this radio show, which if you haven't figured out by now, all these radio shows are really just Bible studies in disguise. But we are looking tonight at aliens and angels in the Bible. We're also going to look at UFOs, and we're also going to look at near-death experiences. And why are we looking at all these things? Because we live in a day and age where it looks like the supernatural is starting to insert itself into our world. You look at UFOs. Now, a great number of the UFO stories are obviously fraudulent, obviously photoshopped, obviously doctored video. I mean, you know, to a very high degree, if we're going to be honest, a very high number of these type of stories are not true. However, there are far too many stories coming out in the last 5 years, the last 10 years, the last 2 years, the last 6 months. There are far too many stories for them all to be made up, photoshopped, doctored video. That's just not possible. And a lot of the stories that we're going to look at come from reputable, credible people. We have Brother Steve Lutz, who will be joining us in about 10 minutes or so, maybe 15 minutes or so, but in a short while. And Brother Steve has been on the show many times before. And tonight, we're going to talk for a little bit about an encounter with someone inside the military who had a face-to-face encounter with a creature that he felt and feels was not of this world. And we're going to talk about that tonight. See, stories like that are very exciting because they're not altered, they're not doctored, they're not photoshopped. And the stories that come from sane, sober, rational people who aren't prone to flights of fancy or fantasy, those are the stories that you really want to pay attention to. And there's a fair amount of those stories out there. But mostly tonight, we're going to be looking into God's Word, the Bible, and we're going to be looking at aliens and angels, UFOs, and near-death experiences as found inside the Bible, as well as giving you stories, modern stories of things that people are reporting that they're seeing now. We have so many reports coming in almost weekly of noises that are otherworldly and great shakings that take over entire towns and tens of thousands of birds that just drop out of the sky and weird flying objects in the sky and Navy and Air Force pilots seeing things that they can't explain. And we're going to be looking at all of that tonight, but mostly what we're going to be doing is giving the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we're going to be giving him the glory tonight. We're going to be giving his son, Jesus Christ, the preeminence. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to meet with us and lead us and to guide us into all truth. Now, for those of you who are just tuning in because you saw the title that says Angels and Aliens in the Bible, we're very glad that you're here, and there's one thing that you really need to be aware of. The Bible is the most wildest, outrageous, up-to-date, ahead-of-the-date type of book that has ever been placed on this earth. And the Bible can take whatever question you have, whatever topic you want to talk about. There is nothing that is too wild for the Bible. So Yes, we're going to have a Bible study tonight, but it's going to be a Bible study from the Bible on aliens, angels, UFOs. Would it surprise you to learn that some of the writers in the Bible were confronted by UFOs and they wrote about it? And we're going to look at that. And then we're going to compare and contrast Bible stories of aliens and UFOs, and we're going to look at the stories that are hitting the news now about UFOs and aliens, and I think you're going to see a lot of common ground there, and I think in a very short order, it's going to become very, very clear that aliens and UFOs and all these things and angels, they are not figments of people's imagination. They are very, very, very real, and we're going to look at that tonight. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to meet with us tonight, to wash us clean in your shed blood. Your word says in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Lord, we're coming to you and we're asking for your blessing. And Lord, we ask you to bless this radio program to the hundreds that will listen to it live tonight and the thousands of people who will listen to it over the next week or two in the archives. Lord, we just pray that you be magnified. You went to the cross and you shed your blood for our sins and you rose from the dead in the third day with victory over death and hell for our sakes. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus, and we ask you to meet with us tonight and give us your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we just lift you up and give you all the honor and all the glory and just do something with this show, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, let's play some music. In a very short while, we're going to have Brother Steve Lutz, who's going to we're going to talk about some aliens, and we're going to talk about some pretty wild stuff. And you know, the truth is always stranger than fiction. And when you read the Bible, you know, a lot of people don't read the Bible because they think it's an old, stuffy, boring book from 2,000 years ago, and nothing could be further from the truth. The Bible is the most exciting book that you would ever possibly get to read in your entire life. But the exciting parts about the book, they open to you in accordance to the amount of faith and belief that you express in it while you read it. And you know, the book of Hebrews says that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive, it's living, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to discern the thoughts and the intent of your heart while you was the only book ever written that reads the reader while they read it. I want you to think about that. And our God, the God that we serve, he is absolutely the God of the supernatural. And we're going to look at some supernatural stuff tonight. They'll put hair in the back of your head. And it's just amazing what's really actually in the Bible when you read it. And think about that as we listen to My Anchor Holds. Does your anchor hold? Will your anchor hold in the swelling of Jordan? Will your anchor hold when you need it the most? Jesus Christ is that anchor. the Bible says about Jesus Christ that he's an anchor that will hold us through these stormy upheavals of life. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to be born as a little baby in a manger and to live a life just like any other human being and to know what it was like to have great highs and horrible lows and to be hungry and be cold, to be homeless. The Lord Jesus Christ was homeless. And the Bible says that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But he was in all points tempted like we are, but yet without sin. And that's why he is such an amazing anchor, is because if you're going through a rough time, if you're going through the swelling tide of Jordan, if you're like Peter and you're out there trying to walk on the water and you feel yourself sinking, the Lord Jesus Christ is the master of the storm. You know that part in the Gospels where the apostles are out on the sea and Jesus is down in the hold of the ship and he's sleeping, and a huge storm comes up, and they wake him, and they start shaking him, and they say, "Master, we perish. Wake up, wake up." And Jesus says, "Have you no faith?" And he stands up on the bow of the boat, and he raises his hands towards heaven, and he turns, and he says, "Peace, be still." And the waves stop their rising and crashing. The wind ceased its roaring, and the apostles were dumbfounded. And they turned to one another and they said, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" That's the God that we serve. All creation is subject to him. All creation, the Bible says, gives him the glory. The only part of God's creation that doesn't give him the glory is man. Think about that. As you listen to the voice of Now the End Begins Radio, Kristen Lee Magdalene singing, "Give Him the Glory."
Do you remember when you were drowning in the sea of sin, going down for the last time, when you called upon Him?
Remember where you were back then.
That was the voice of Kristen Lee Magdalene singing Give Him the Glory, recorded live at our church in 2009. And she was joined by some friends and some family members. And they sang that song, and she was the lead voice on that song. She had a great voice. She loved the Lord with all her heart. And we would love to send you, now check this out. We would love to send you a box of 200 of the prettiest, most powerful gospel tracks you've ever seen. And we're going to ship a box of 200 of those tracks to you. All you have to do is cover the cost of the shipping. We will charge you not 1 cent for the gospel tracks. Tracks are free. You got to pay for the shipping. But we will ship them anywhere in the world. And the tracks are now available in both English and Italian. We are working on putting it into Spanish. And we are also working on putting it into Creole. Brother Craig, who is a valuable part of this ministry, he has a calling on his life from the Lord to go and minister in the country of Haiti. He was on this show on a Tuesday night just a couple of weeks ago talking about his amazing experience in the country of Haiti and what the Lord is doing there. And he's jumping into that. He's our missionary to Haiti, and we're going to be working on putting the Christian track into the Creole language for the Haitian people. Now, dozens and dozens of you have already written in and asked for the tracks. We have shipped these tracks as far away as Australia and Africa, and we have shipped them to 30 of the 50 states. And the Italian tracks are going out, I think they're going out today, tomorrow. We have a family from our church, the Crumptons, and they're moving to Italy. The Lord's moving them out there. And so we wanted to put the Christian track into Italian so that they can minister to the Italian people. And let me just tell you something. If you want a gospel track that the vast majority of people you ask to take it, we'll take it. And it's filled with scripture on how to get saved. And it has Kristen's amazing life story. Now, people say to me, well, what's so amazing about her story? You know, she lived, she died. What's the big deal? Well, I'll tell you what the big deal is. The thing that's amazing about Kristen's life story is that she's in heaven right now. Let that just sink in for a second. We're sitting down here, it's 9:30 on a Sunday night, and we're talking about Jesus. She's talking to Jesus. Let that just sink into your brain for a moment. Kristen is with Jesus Christ right now. The same God that we worship by faith, she knows him by sight. And she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all her heart. And there is a verse that was very meaningful to her from 2 Samuel 22. And I just want to read the whole context to you, starting in 2 Samuel 22, verse, starting in 31. 2 Samuel 22, 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, and he is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness has made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. You know who said that? King David said that. Do you know who King David was? He was a man after God's own heart. Why was he a man after God's own heart? because he believed what I just read to you. He believed it with all his heart. And Kristen, 2 Samuel 22:33, that was her verse. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. And when it came time for Kristen to be called home and to be taken from this world to the next world, God was her strength and power. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. She closed her eyes in death here on earth, and she opened them up safe in the arms of Jesus Christ, escorted there by angels. Her fate can be your fate. You can know that you know that you know that you are a child of God. All you have to do is get saved. And you'll know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:13-14, that after ye have believed, you have been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. And how long are you sealed for? You're sealed unto the day of redemption. Kristen Lee has already been redeemed from the perspective that she's in heaven right now. And at the time of the rapture, she'll be given her glorified body. You can join her in heaven. And if you're already saved, as a lot of you are, most of you are, but if you're already saved, then you hand out the Kristen track. God is working with that track in a very, very unique way, a very special way, and he's blessing that track. And we have seen dozens and dozens and dozens of people get saved the entire time that the tract has been being printed and handed out. Well over 100 people have gotten saved from it. 100 souls spared from an eternity in hell because Kristen's parents, Kim and Carol, decided to give God the glory in their daughter's death and make a gospel tract out of it. Now, I know that I just spent a lot of time talking about the Kristen track. I didn't really mean to do that. But you know what? Somebody here needs to hear that. And I believe that God is using the Kristen track with all my heart. I have handed out, literally, I have handed out thousands and thousands and thousands of these tracks. Our street preaching team has handed out tens of thousands of these tracks. And God is blessing it in a very unique way. So go to the website, kristensfriends.com. Click on the link and let us send you a box of 200 Kristen tracks and see what the Lord will do with those tracks in your life. All right, one more song. And then when we come back, we are going to talk about aliens, angels, UFOs, and near-death experiences in the Bible, and that's a lot to talk about. So I hope you put the coffee pot on. Stay with us, and it's going to get real wild real soon. But think about this for the next 4 minutes and 7 seconds.
Thank you.
person who wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul, the man who wrote the lyrics for that song, he had 5 children, and 4 of his daughters were killed on the same day in a boat crash, and his wife was miraculously spared from that. She managed to make it through, but she got separated from the children, and his 5th child was not on the boat that day. And he had to bury 4 daughters at one time. And when he got alone with the Lord and he prayed about it, and I can't imagine the grief over losing one child, much less 4 of them, 80% of all your children. But when he got alone with the Lord and the Lord spoke to him, the outcome of that prayer time with the Lord was the song, It Is Well With My Soul. You know, we never really know the extent to our faith until our faith is tried. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says we played this song at the start of the show about, will your anchor hold? Is your faith strong enough to get you through the storms of life? Anybody's faith can get them through prosperity and health and happiness. But when those things are taken from you and everything is going against you and you have horrific losses, will your anchor still hold? If your anchor is in Jesus Christ, it will hold. And that's a Bible promise. All right, speaking of promises, we have a show for you tonight, a wild, wild show, Aliens and Angels in the Bible. And we are joined right now by Brother Stephen Lutz, and he's been on the show many times before, but for the purpose of tonight's show, I am going to promote him from brother and staff sergeant to doctor of theology. Dr. Lutz, are you with us?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Loud and clear, brother. Loud and clear. Now,
good to be back.
Let me ask you. Yeah, very glad to have you back, brother. We had a great day at church today, and we heard some really good preaching. We had some great fellowship. We all went out for lunch today, and it's just a real good spirit today.
Amen.
Now, let me ask you a question. A lot of people get nervous. Like, tonight's show is entitled Aliens, Angels, UFOs, and Near-Death Experiences in the Bible. Do you think that the Bible really talks about all those things?
Oh, yes, most definitely. I've never believed in UFOs or aliens previous to studying the Bible out and finding it out in the Bible. And understanding how that takes place in the Bible, even though I've never seen one or I've experienced a phenomenon like that, I can say because of biblical doctrine, I can say that I believe in aliens, and I do believe UFOs is something that you can find in the Bible, and what people are experiencing today is found in the Bible.
Amen, brother. What was your? You said that you had an experience about UFOs.
No,
what was your?
I have personally never experienced seeing a UFO or talking to aliens or nothing like that. I was raised never believing in anything like that. I never thought something like that could ever exist. And it wasn't until I started studying the Bible, God's Word, that I realized that things like that do occur, and what people are experiencing today, the overwhelming videos and the photos that are taken and people claiming that they've been abducted, it is actually found in scriptures. And I can say I'm not referring to an experience, I'm referring to the Bible, and I do believe in UFOs and aliens.
Amen, brother, because like we were saying before, we can discount about 30, 40, 50% of every story that you hear because it winds up being an obviously photoshopped picture, or the video has been doctored, or the story is just so outrageous that there's just no credibility behind it at all.
but there are so many stories that are coming in from sane, sober, rational, clear-thinking people that they all can't be false.
No, they can't. They can't.
Right. All right. So I want you told me a couple of days ago, you told me this fantastical story. We have a mutual good friend, Brother Damien, who comes with us out into the street preaching. He's very faithful and comes out all the time with us, and he hands out tracts and preaches with us out in the street. But you were telling me a story a couple nights ago that when he was talking with one of his friends or a commander or somebody, and tell us the story that he told you.
I have heard several stories since I've been in the military about various interactions with aliens or people from, you know, not of Earth or non-human people. I've heard several different stories, even though I've never interacted with them. One of the most profound stories I've heard was from Damien, and he stated he was talking to his friend's dad, who was stationed with physicists, nuclear physicists, and scientists, and his dad and his friend, who's a scientist, was brought under an underground office for a meeting. And while they're conducting this meeting, he stated that someone or something walked in. At first, he thought it was a human, but as he was looking at it, he said, this has features that's not of a human. There's no way it can be a human. So they're having this meeting, and in comes this humanoid, if you want to call it that, who dresses like something that's not of this world. And he said that he thought that person was reading his mind. So there's also a count who's a physicist, Dr. Hall. He was in the Air Force, and he goes around. He's written plenty of books on this, and he was in the military. And he writes books and does seminars on his interactions with the tall whites and various tribes from the different aliens. His interactions while he's been in the military, and he states during his years in the Air Force that he interacted with the aliens on a daily basis, and he has some great material out there, and I mean, it's just so overwhelming, the people that have spoken up about this.
Now let me ask you a question. The first story that you just told us, this was a man in the military, and he's taken to an underground meeting, and this humanoid-like creature enters into the room, and you heard that when the man saw this humanoid, he could tell right away that he looked human but wasn't human, right?
Yes, he had similar features of a human, but he said a lot of it was the things he was seeing, like he didn't have ears. There was facial features that was not of a human being. And he said it scared him to death. He said he was real nervous. He couldn't look at that individual person in the eye. And he said it felt like the guy was in his head. He was somehow, some way inside his head. And he just got real nervous and real quiet. He couldn't even speak.
Wow, that is. And now, so that person, you said he was a nuclear physicist, or what?
Yeah. There's another guy. His name's Charles Hall. He has his doctorates. He's a physicist. He's written several books on his encounters. But Damien's friend is a scientist. I don't know exactly what he got his degree into,
okay. And what branch of the military was that in?
It's I don't know what it is, but it's always the Air Force. These individuals that are coming forward with these stories, they are all tied in with Air Force, and I don't quite understand that. But
that's kind of funny, because aliens come down. They come down in spaceships through the air. it's almost kind of natural that would reach out to people in the Air Force, because they're the ones that are flying the highest and flying the longest, and they spend all that time, you know, 8 miles up, 10 miles up, and so that would really kind of make good sense.
The question is we have all these people that are claiming, thousands upon thousands yearly are claiming that they're being abducted. And then you have all these people taking, you recently published a photo of a UFO just days ago. The question is how does this, we know this stuff is going on, but how does this apply to the Bible? Where does this, where does this take place in the Bible? And I would simply say, as I was reading the scriptures, it's clear cut. We know in Genesis chapter 6 that the angels came down and had physical relations with the daughters of men, and the Nephilim, or the giants, or the mighty men of renown, was born unto them. And so what you get, like the tall whites, these tall alien figures with supernatural abilities, we understand that that's the offspring of the of the seed that's being mixed between angels and men. What do you think about that, Brother Gardner?
Well, yeah, we're going to be talking later in the show all about Genesis 6, and we're going to be talking about the Nephilim, and that these were angels that came down from heaven. Jude says that they left their first estate, and they just performed wickedness. You know, some people think that angels are sexless, but they're not. They don't need to procreate, because angels can never die. But there is something about the angels that they can take on a human form, because every time that we see an angel in the Bible, it's always male and it's always human. The people interact with them, they see another human being, you know?
Yes.
But what's so what's interesting, in Zechariah chapter 5, verse 1, Zechariah is talking with the Lord, and he says this: "Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes, and look, behold, a flying roll. And the Lord said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits." So it's 20 cubits would be, that'd be 20 feet, and then half of that'd be 30 feet long. And he said that the breadth, the width of it was 10 cubits. It'd be 30 feet long, 15 feet wide. That's pretty big. And so here we have Zechariah in chapter 5. He's seeing what we would call a UFO, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, most definitely.
Yeah, it's 15 feet wide and it's 30 feet long. And God never really goes into any great explanation as to what he's seeing, other than that there is a curse that is attached to the flying roll, and it goes over the face of the whole earth. So we think that in our, you know, 20th century, 21st century modern life with all our technology, we think that we're talking about things that the world has never seen before. But 3,500 years ago, Zechariah was looking at a UFO.
Yeah.
Right?
It's most definitely.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. All right. Dr. Lutz, thank you very, very much for coming on the show. We appreciate that story, and we'll have you back on again real, real soon.
Okay. I look forward to hearing what you got to say next. Interesting topic.
Yes, sir, brother.
But thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Bye.
All right. That was Dr. Stephen Lutz, recently promoted to THD and PhD by me. And that's an amazing story that he just shared with us, that a scientist in the Air Force was taken to a meeting in an underground room, and during the course of that meeting, a humanoid-like figure walked into the room, had no ears, different skin, weird eyes, and the scientist told our friend Damien that he felt like that humanoid creature, whatever it was reading his mind. Isn't that an amazing thing? See, stories like that I tend to give a high level of credibility to, because here's a man who's a scientist. He's in the military. He's had lots of training. He's working for the Air Force. And he has no reason to lie about that. He never wrote some big tell-all book. He never tried to make a movie of the week out of it. He never tried to profit off of that experience. He just shared with our friend, hey, look, this is what happened to me in a meeting in an underground room in the military. And those type of stories are not isolated stories. There's thousands of those type of stories, and they keep getting more and more made public as we get closer and closer and closer to the end of things. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, then you believe, as we believe, that we are near the end of things. And everything in the Bible happened in a transition period. God didn't create the world in 1 minute. He created the world in 6 24-hour days. When Adam and Eve fell, they weren't immediately kicked out of the garden. There was a transition out of the garden. Time went by. When Noah was told to build his boat, he didn't just build it in a weekend. Noah was 100 years in building of that boat. When Moses was called to be a preacher of God, he didn't just go to Bible school for 3 years and become a preacher. It took him 40 years to get into the ministry. Everything that happens in the Bible happens in a transition. God's not in a rush. God's not in a hurry. And as one dispensation has faded out, the other dispensation, kind of like waves that are rolling in from the tide, they gradually come in, and the current dispensation gradually goes out. So now why do I tell you all that? Because we live in the age of grace. We live in the church age. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. But that is not going to last forever. The age of grace will come to an end at some point. The church, the body, the bride will be raptured out in the rapture. And then following on the heels of the rapture will be the start of the great tribulation. Jeremiah 37 calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. It's Israel's trouble. And there will be a 7-year tribulation period, and the Antichrist will rise. So as our generation is rolling out and the new generation, the new dispensation is rolling in, I believe, and Brother Steve believes, and a lot of us believe, that we are seeing an overlap period once again happening. And that's why you're seeing this rise in spaceships and alien reports and all this wacky stuff, because that is the dispensation that's coming in now. And very, very shortly, we are going to be raptured out of here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump, the dead shall be raised incorruptible." That's the rapture that Paul talked about. And we're starting to see, because the dispensation that's coming in after us, which is going to be the tribulation dispensation, it is going to be filled with phony signs, miracles, and wonders, and the supernatural is going to be everywhere. The book of Revelation says that in the time of the tribulation, the supernatural and the natural meet. And we've been living for the last 2,000 years with no real discernible signs and wonders, because the Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Signs and wonders are for people who walk by sight. It is the opposite of faith. And the book of Revelation says that the devil comes with phony signs, miracles, and wonders. And that's going to happen in the tribulation. Read the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. That's all about the tribulation. Every single bit of Matthew 24 is about the tribulation and about the phony signs and miracles and wonders that are coming. And look in Matthew 24, where is it? Verse 10. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Now, maybe you've been taught that that's talking about the rapture, but it's not. Because look at verse 13. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. That's not our dispensation. We don't have to endure to the end because we're in Christ. We are saved. The Apostle Paul says that we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Jesus Christ is in heaven right now, and we're practically there with him because we are part of his body. But now keep reading, well, and then look at verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. How do we know that that's not for us? Christians don't have a temple. The holy place is the temple, the rebuilt temple. That would never apply to the Christian, because the Apostle Paul says that for Christians, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit individually. So this can't possibly be talking about us. Now, look down to verse 24, Matthew 24, 24. And there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And then Jesus says, behold, I have told you before. Now, that's going to be the character of the tribulation. Signs and miracles and wonders and the Antichrist. And let me tell you something, people. It's going to be nothing like this world has seen. It's going to be an extremely unique period in world history. The supernatural will be on display on a daily basis. When you read in the book of Revelation about all those judgments, and I think there's 21 of them, bowl and vial and trumpet judgments, every single one of those judgments is a supernatural judgment. The scorpions that come up out of the bottomless pit that have the power to hurt men for 5 months, and 100-pound hailstones mingled with blood and fire falling upon the earth, and just crazy things happening, all the green grass being burned up, all the water being turned to blood, and the famine and the pestilence and the four horsemen of the apocalypse, that's going to be literal and visible on the face of this earth at that time. So what I'm trying to do is to get you to see past our dispensation. Now, we won't be here when these things really start to happen. But as Brother Steve and I were just talking about, we're starting to see those things trickling in right now. Have you ever been driving on a highway really late at night or really early in the morning, and there's a lot of fog on the road? Have you ever noticed that as you start to drive through the fog, it starts out as just tiny little puffs of smoke or fog and just scattered wisps here and there? And as you continue driving, the wisps of smoke get larger and closer together until at some point you find yourself embroiled in the midst of the fog. Well, that's how things happen in the Bible dispensationally. As one generation is fading out, the other generation, the other dispensation is ushering itself in. And where the two meet, they overlap for just a very brief moment in time. Like in this particular case, the age of grace, the church age, is already starting to overlap with the tribulation age. Just the very, very edges have started to touch. We are in about to go into free fall, and we're starting to see weird supernatural things starting to happen because we're living in that overlap period. And one of these days I'm going to write a book on the overlap period, because the more and more that I spend praying about this and doing my Bible study, the Lord is really showing me that we are living in an overlap. And it is not a process that's going to happen one day someday. I believe with all my heart that it has already begun. We are living in the overlap period right here, right now. So let me go to the Now the End Begins website, and I just want to read a couple of stories to you from our website. We have chronicled a lot of different stories for the last 3.5 years. Now, we haven't had a blog the whole time, but we've written almost 2,000 blog posts and articles in the last 2.5 years. I think at some point this week, if it turns out to be a busy week, we will hit blog article number 2,000. And that's a great accomplishment. And we just thank the Lord for giving us this ministry. It is one of the top 5 end times Bible prophecy websites in the entire world. It has one of the biggest Facebook pages for any Bible teaching end times website. And I'm just bragging on the Lord. I mean, he's really taken this ministry and doing things with it that really have far exceeded my expectations. And it's growing very, very, very quickly, and it's growing very large. Last month, we had 31 million hits to the website, crashed the servers twice, but 31 million hits to the website in 1 month. Something's happening. But we just thank the Lord for his blessing and his provision. But let's start with his first story. UFO sightings on the rise. In Utah, a town called American Fork, Utah, in January of 2011, there was UFO sightings. In October of 2010, a news photographer for a local El Paso, Texas news station took footage of the mysterious lights in the skies over Texas, which had dozens and dozens of citizens calling into the station as well as making calls to 911. And they all called to report a UFO. And at the same time that these strange lights were appearing over Texas, the same lights appeared in the daytime over New York City. And that's just an amazing, amazing thing. Here you have two examples of UFOs, one over Texas and one over New York City, and fully documented by the news. This wasn't some farmer in Kansas at 2 o'clock in the morning. News crews caught both of these things, and there has never been an explanation for it. The local Air Force was contacted. No drills were being conducted, and they have these UFOs on video. And that's going back to 2010, an amazing, amazing thing. And then we have this story. FBI releases Roswell UFO docs that appear to prove that alien ships have landed. And the story says this: the FBI has recently created something called the Vault on their official website. And it contains some very interesting documents on Roswell UFO sightings, as well as hundreds of pages of information on UFO sightings in general. This is on the FBI website. You can go there and check it out. And a lot of documents, a lot of papers are starting to come out now. Well, one memo in particular appears to prove that aliens and flying saucers did land in New Mexico prior to 1950, and it's been published by the FBI, and they said that they saw flying saucers. And Agent Hoddle reveals that the Air Force investigator had stated that three so-called flying saucers had been recovered in New Mexico. The investigator gave information to a special agent, and the FBI censored both the agent and the investigator's identity. Agent Hoddle went on to write, they were described as being circular in shape with raised centers approximately 50 feet in diameter. That's interesting. Let me read that for you one more time. Agent Hoddle of the FBI wrote this in his official report, that the three flying saucers that was seen were described as being circular in shape with raised centers approximately 50 feet in diameter. Now, when Brother Steve and I were talking just before, in Zechariah 5, verse 1, and let's just go back there for a second. Zechariah 5, verse 1, then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and look, and behold a flying roll. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits. They say a cubit is 18 inches. So that's a foot and a half. A foot and a half times 20 is 30 feet. So he saw a flying roll that was 30 feet long, and it said that it was 10 cubits wide, so that's 15 feet wide. Now, what was the dimensions in our story? That they estimated that they were 50 feet in diameter. So Zechariah's flying roll was not that much smaller than hold on just a second. Jay Kitty is asking for the links to these stories, and I will be happy to let me just post those into the chat room. And Jay, thank you very much for asking me for those links. So here's the first link to FBI releases UFO docs that appear to prove alien ships have landed. So there's a link for you in the chat room right there. So here you have an official FBI story that predates the Roswell incident in the same area. And why would these stories be entered into the FBI record if the people who saw them didn't actually believe that they were true? Now, the person who saw the ship said that they saw bodies inside the ships, and they said that the bodies were dressed in a metallic cloth of a very fine texture. Each body was bandaged in a manner similar to the blackout suits used by speed flyers and test pilots. The town of Roswell, New Mexico, became infamous after reports that a flying saucer had crashed there in 1947. The bodies of aliens were said to have been recovered and autopsied by the U.S. military, but American authorities allegedly covered the incident up. So there you have that report. Now we have another story that I want to read to you from MUFON, which is the Mutual UFO Network. And that's a group that's been around for a while now. And they said this. And when did I write this story? Let me just see here. This was September 19th, 2011. And at this time, the MUFON people said that UFO sightings were up 100% in the past 6 weeks. And UFO sightings in general have gone up and stayed up since that period of time. And we get so many reports of UFO sightings. Now, Brother Steve had mentioned one that we wrote about just a couple of days ago, just 2 or 3 days ago, And this UFO sighting took place in San Diego, and it was at a historical place called the Edgemoor Barn. And the woman who's the historian was taking pictures with her camera of the barn, and she wasn't aware of any wacky thing going on in the sky. And when she went to when she took her flash drive off of her camera and loaded it into her computer and pulled up her pictures, she saw that there was some sort of a flying object in the sky that she had failed to see, but it was clearly visible in her photos. She said this: "It was clear and certainly not a bug." She said, now this woman is a member of the Santee Historical Society, located in San Diego County, California. And according to the Santee Patch, the local newspaper, she was taking pictures of a historical building, the Edgemoor Barn. She said this: "I was at the Edgemoor property in the middle of the day to take pics of the barn to update the SHS barn logo. I was constantly looking up and around the area, including the sky's background, so I can get it just right, and not at any time did I see anything in the sky or hear the sound of an aircraft. It wasn't until she took the picture that she realized that her camera had captured something that she hadn't previously seen." She said, "There is no way that this was a commercial aircraft. She would have heard it, especially as low as it was. Somebody did mention that perhaps it was a drone. However, she said that she has not seen any drones that were round or oval, that lacked wings, had no rudders, and no propellers. Even the drone that looks like a fly has wings. Another unusual thing happened." Henry reports that right after she snapped the UFO picture, her camera mysteriously stopped working. So those are some stories from the last couple of years, and a few of those stories go back to 1947. And I could give you thousands of stories like that from sane, credible, rational, clear-thinking, non-excitable people that they're just simply taking a picture of something, and then there you have, in their camera frame, you have something that is completely unexplainable, that looks like nothing of the aircraft that we have today, and yet it matches up with what we see in the Bible. We're going to take a quick song break, and when we come back, we're going to do a little Bible study on UFOs from the Bible. Stay with us. We'll be back in 4 minutes and 52 seconds.
My God, my Savior, Now, why are we going to Genesis 6? You wanted to hear about aliens in the Bible, right? You wanted to hear about space aliens coming down and abducting people, right? You wanted to hear about supernatural visitations from aliens resulting in half-human, half-non-human babies. Well, this is the story. This is where it is. Genesis chapter 6 is a wild, wild chapter. And this tells the story of fallen angels, male angels, coming down to earth and having sexual relations with women, human beings. And the Bible says this in Genesis 6:1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. And the Bible says there were giants in the earth in those days. We're not talking about people who were 6'5" or 6'10". We're talking about people who are 9 feet, 10 feet, 11 feet, 13 feet, 14 feet, 16 feet tall. There were giants in the earth in those days. What days? The days where the sons of God had relations with men, with women. And it says that when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. But these were not good men. These were bad men. Look what verse 5 says. Look what verse 5 says. I really need you guys to, I see a lot of chatting going on in the chat room. I really hope you guys are paying attention to this, because this is hard-hitting stuff. This will really help you. Verse 5 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continuously. Now God's looking down and he's seeing the alien offspring of these half Nephilim, half human giants. And look at Genesis 6:6. No surprise there. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. You know, the word repent, repent, re means to do again, pent, that's five. You have five fingers in your hand. To repent means to re-grasp, to re-grab, to regain control of the situation. And it repented the Lord. He was going to do something to regain control of the situation, that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. All right, so what do we have here? We have Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. We have giants. We have spirit beings that have come down and they have gone after strange flesh. Turn to the book of Jude. Let's leave Genesis 6 for just a moment and turn to the book of Jude. And I want to show you this. Only one chapter in the book of Jude. Look at Jude 1, verse 6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, that's heaven, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. So here you have the angels. They didn't stay in heaven. They went down to the earth. and they did what Genesis 6 was saying that they did. They went after strange flesh. Look at Jude 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So homosexuality is strange flesh. But angels having sexual relations with human beings, that's strange flesh as well. The angels did not stay in heaven. They did not keep their first estate. But they came down to the earth. The scriptures clearly teach that angels can assume fleshly bodies. They can eat and drink with men. Remember the angels, the three angels that appeared to Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 18? And they told Sarah that she was going to have a baby. And then two of those three angels went over to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they met with Lot and said, you got to get out of here. Well, in both cases, like when the three angels appeared to Abraham and Sarah, what did Abraham do? He had Sarah make them lunch. And they made bread, and they roasted flesh, and they had something to drink. And these angels sat down with Abraham and with Sarah, and they had a meal. And Abraham knew that he was talking to someone from the Lord. He didn't know it was the Lord. But he had a conversation with pre-incarnate Jesus Christ and two angels, probably Gabriel and Michael. And they had lunch. They had a meal. Remember after Jesus Christ rose from the grave and he met the apostles on the beach and they came out of the boat and Jesus kindled the fire and he was roasting the fish. He ate with the men and he was the glorified Jesus Christ. So the scriptures clearly teach that angels can assume fleshly bodies. They can eat and drink with men. These are the sons of God that the Bible talks about in Genesis 6:6. This is not the same sons of God in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the sons of God are me and you, the believers. The Bible says, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Well, those sons of God in the New Testament, that's me and you. But in the Old Testament, the sons of God are angels. And they come down, and in Genesis 6, the babies that were born to the physical relations between the Nephilim, between the angels and the women, the human daughters of men, it produced a race of giants and mighty men. Brother Steve was talking earlier about all these reports of they're doing archaeological digs all over the world now, and they're finding burial ground after burial ground with skeletons that are 12 feet long, 13 feet long. They're finding beds that were made for people from thousands of years ago, and the beds are 14 feet long. Why on earth would you have to make a bed that was 14 feet long? Unless you were a giant. The angels who lost their first estate, Peter says that that these are the spirits in prison, and to whom Jesus Christ preached through the Holy Spirit, through Noah, in the days before the flood. So Genesis 6:6 is talking very, very clearly that supernatural encounters from outer space came down, angels came down, fallen angels, and they appeared as men. They had physical relations with women, and the Nephilim, this race of giants, were born to women. Now, that's not fantasy, that's not conspiracy, that's the Bible. That's what the Bible said happened right
at the time of the days of Noah. So we have all these stories now, and alien creatures are coming down, and they're taking up people to go in their spaceships and all this stuff. That's not really much different than this story in Genesis chapter 6. Now, of course, one difference being is that we don't see a race of giants in our day. But could it be possible that as our dispensation comes to a close and the new dispensation comes rolling in, that we're going to see a return of this giant race of beings? It's going to be a very, very, very scary time. The scriptures are full of supernatural. The Bible talks about angels, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits, seducing spirits, demons, fallen angels, spirits in prison, thrones, dominions, cherubim, seraphim, all over the place. And the Bible talks about these things as being very real and very present. We just can't see them, but they're here. Seraphim have three pairs of wings, and they are the attendants of the Lord of hosts, and they call attention to his holiness. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 and 3. Isaiah 6, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. So with two wings he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. So seraphims are six-winged creatures. They cover their face, they cover their feet, and then they fly. Verse 3 says, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then Isaiah says in 6:6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Isaiah had a supernatural encounter with a six-wing seraphim. Actual story, not made up, not conjecture. That's right there in the Bible, right there in the Bible. So you have seraphim, you have cherubim. Cherubim are living creatures. And then you have angels. Now, all of these creatures, seraphim, cherubim, angels, they are all created beings. They did not exist from all eternity. They were beings that God created at some point in time. Now, the Bible says that the angels are ministering spirits from Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. They are ministering spirits to them who are the heirs of salvation and executioners of God's wrath on the wicked. They will gather the elect of Israel from the four corners of the earth and are commissioned to supply the physical needs of God's people. Now, demons are not classified as angels. They appear to be disembodied spirits that some people think that they come from the race of people that were upon the earth before Adam and Eve. The inhabitants being disembodied because of the sin that caused the pre-Adamite earth to become chaotic. So that's who the demons are. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 1, and I want to show you now a UFO in the Bible. An actual UFO. Ezekiel chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captains by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. So here you have the prophet Ezekiel, and he's by the river Kibar, and God's getting ready to talk to Ezekiel, but before he hears any actual words, he sees something pretty wacky. He says in verse 3, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Now look at what Ezekiel saw. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also in the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. Those are the same four living creatures we see in Daniel, that we see in Revelation. And this was their appearance, that they had the likeness of a man. So here you have, he's seeing these four living creatures. And if you get the time, read through all of Ezekiel chapter 1. We don't have time to go into the whole thing tonight, but it's an amazing, amazing story. Now, let's pick it up in verse 15. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels. Now, whenever we see pictures of a UFO, it's either the shape of a cylinder, from Zechariah chapter 5, verse 1, or it's a round shape, like a disc or like a wheel. Well, Zechariah saw a flying cylinder, and Ezekiel sees flying wheels. Look at verse 16, Ezekiel 1:16. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. So Ezekiel saw one wheel spinning inside another wheel. When they went up upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. So each ring had eyes going about them, four eyes. And verse 19 says, and when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went thither, was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. So here you have Ezekiel seeing this amazing contraption of wheels inside wheels, everything spinning in different directions, and in the midst of these spinning wheels were the four living creatures. And look down in verse 24. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings, and there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads, and when they stood and had let down their wings. So, and then look how he finishes in verse 28. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so this is Noah's rainbow, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice that spake. So this is Ezekiel seeing round wheels flying in the sky, and in the midst of those wheels were eyes and the four living creatures. Zechariah saw the flying roll. And these are things that God said actually happened. Real human beings, Ezekiel and Zechariah, they looked up in the sky and they saw these things. And this is the world that we live in. And it is not surprising to me in any way, shape, or form that as we begin to get to the end of time, we are starting to see strange, wacky things. We're starting to see an amazing increase in UFO sightings. And I've only ever heard of two type of UFOs. It's either a cylinder or it's a disc. It's either Ezekiel's UFO or it's Zechariah's UFO. We are starting to uncover all this amazing evidence that a race of giants actually lived upon the face of the earth. Now, we believe that they lived here because the Bible says that they did, and we take it on faith, but it's exciting to see these things actually. We start to dig up the remains of these giants. We see giants that were 12 feet long, and we see beds that were 14 feet long, and it's amazing that we're starting to see these things now. We're starting to see as the overlap, as our dispensation is headed out and up, the new dispensation of the false signs and wonders and miracles, it's starting to roll in. And we're just living in a very, very wild, wacky time. All right, one more quick song, and then we're going to wrap this up with some near-death experiences from the Bible. And we're going to relate that to what is happening today. And we're going to look to see if people's near-death experiences, do they pass the biblical test of what the Bible says happens with a near-death experience. We'll be right back after this song. Don't go away.
Amen. The book, the blood, and the blessed hope. I hope you have all three of those things this evening because you're going to need them. Look in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and let's look at a near-death experience in Revelation, chapter 1. Starting in verse 10, John writes this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And then John said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. And he goes on to describe Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. So here you have the Apostle John. He's taken up to heaven in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He is not just simply doing this on a Sunday, but in the Bible, the Lord's day or the day of the Lord is the period of time from the start of the tribulation all the way up to the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ. Now, this will culminate in one single day at the Battle of Armageddon, but it is also a period of time that covers the judgments of God in Revelation, the rise of the Antichrist, Jesus returning with his saints, that's me and you, on horseback, and defeating the devil at the Battle of Armageddon, and then the thousand-year reign, and then the Battle of Gog and Magog, and then the White Throne Judgment. That whole period of time is the day of the Lord. And John is taken up into heaven, and what is the very first thing that John sees? He hears a great voice. He hears the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not in heaven for 3 seconds, and he is hearing from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, compare and contrast that when you read these books about people with their near-death experiences, and they're walking down a long tunnel, and then they see their neighbors, and they see their dog that died when they were five, and they see, you know, the postman, and they see their aunt who passed away, and all these different things, and they see the town that they were raised in, and they see their school teachers, and all these people. And every single book that you read on a near-death experience is exactly the same way, but in the Bible, when people have a near-death experience, an out-of-body experience, when that's what a near-death experience is, it's if you were watching somebody have a near-death experience to you, they would look dead. They would look as if they had left their body. But to them, they are in front of the Lord Jesus Christ or up in heaven. And John said in verse 17 that when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. So here you have the second aspect of a biblical near-death experience. Point number one is that they always meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. Point number two is that they are terrified when they're going through it. At least the beginning of their experience, they are in an unbelievable sense of awe and shock and wonderment. The prophet Ezekiel that we just read from chapter 1, when the Lord is showing him these rings and wheels and eyes and the four living creatures, he's terrified. And then one of the seraphim, they take a coal from off the altar, and he gets anointed by the Lord, and they purge his sin from him, and God appoints him as a prophet. When's the last time you read that in a book about near-death experiences? I've yet to read the story that contains that. So let's continue in Revelation chapter 1. In 17, he fell at his feet as he was dead, and Jesus said, I am he that liveth forevermore, that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of death in hell. Well, that's what John saw when he got up there. And that is nothing like what you see in these books about near-death experiences. And if you'll take the time to read about Ezekiel's experience and John's experience and Paul's experience, they all have a common thread running through them, that they, in all those experiences, they meet the Lord and they are up in heaven and all this unbelievable stuff is going on. And every time somebody sees Jesus, the description is always the same. His head and hairs were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like unto fine brass as they burned in the furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. Now, you can read that in the Old Testament just as easily as you're reading it in the end of the New Testament here. And that's what the Bible says a near-death experience would be like. Well, we've about come to the end of our time, and I wasn't able to cover everything that I wanted to cover. Maybe we'll make a part two out of this show. But I hope this that this was helpful to you, and I hope you got a blessing out of it. And the real thing that I want to get across to you is that stories of UFOs and encounters with what we would call a space alien, I just showed you for the last hour from the Bible that these things are real and they do exist. They were on the earth at some point, and they will be back on the earth during the time of the tribulation. Spend some time and read in Revelation chapter 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 12 and 13 and 14 and read about the unbelievable, openly supernatural nature of the time of the tribulation. And people will once again see with their own eyes the spiritual world intersecting and inserting itself into our real physical world. The Bible is filled with these stories. I hope you'll tune in on Tuesday night, where we're going to have our weekly Tuesday night Bible study, and bring a cup of coffee, bring your King James Bible, and bring a pen and a notepad, and we're going to study God's Word as we do every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you guys have a great week at work and school and home and whatever it is that the Lord's called you to do. Please keep me in prayer. The Lord is taking me down a brand new path in my life, and I just really need wisdom from the Lord. I really need to hear from him. I really need to know what direction he wants me to go into. The job that I have has closed, and I don't have a job at the present moment, but just pray that the Lord would show me what his plan is for me now. And more than anything else, I just really, really need, wisdom to hear from the Lord. Have a lot of decisions that I'm going to have to make this week. So I covet your prayers for wisdom for me in this week coming up. And if you get a chance, go to christensfriends.com and read Brother Kim's blog. Click on the link for the tracks and send away for a box of 200 tracks, 200 free tracks, and start your ministry today, telling people how they can get saved and sharing Kristen's story with them. Thank you so much for tuning in. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Good night, everybody.